text before us has received lots of attention in the history of the church, but not so much as an encouragement to disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as he is about to lay down his life for his sheep and then be resurrected and ascended, he speaks to his disciples about his return in glory to encourage them to live as witnesses to him as they look by faith ahead to the glory of heavenly life that they will realize at his return in glory. Now, the New Testament scriptures put much emphasis on preparing the church for the return of Jesus Christ. And it could justifiably be said that the return of Jesus Christ is to be the life-directing focus of the Christian church. Because the return of Jesus Christ, not in humiliation now as it is first coming, but this time in glory, that is when faith becomes sight. When together with Abraham and all the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers, all of us who believe in the God of the covenant, we will go to live eternally in the heavenly city that we long for. So in our text, Jesus Christ is telling us clearly what will take place at his return. And Jesus has told us back in verse 36 of chapter 24 that none of us know the day and hour of his return. So we who profess Jesus Christ as individuals, as families, as his church, have to live, are called to live, in a state of constant readiness for his return. Because we know he will return, but we don't know when, and we don't know when he won't. Now, Jesus taught us the parables of the 10 virgins and that of the talents to teach us how to be ready, to be ready to be received into the eternal kingdom of Christ the King, to show ourselves as qualified to enter into the joy of our Master, that is, to enter into eternal life, to be the bride of Christ, ready to greet her bridegroom as he comes to consummate his marriage with his betrothed church. Remember that the 5 of the 10 virgins that were invited to the wedding were those who were ready by having the supply of oil needed to keep their lamps lit, to keep their lights shining while awaiting the late bridegroom. And in the parable of the talents, it was the slaves who invested for the master's gain the treasure he entrusted to them while he was away. And when he came back, those that had invested for his gain received the master's commendation, "Well done, good and faithful slave, enter into the joy of your master." But now in our text, Jesus is telling us no longer about being ready. That's what he just did through the parable of the 10 virgins and the talents. But now in our text, starting at verse 31, he's telling us what will actually happen on that final day of this present world. So look at how Jesus speaks of his return. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. His visible return in glory will be truly awesome. All the holy angels with him. The full glory of Christ Jesus as the God of heavenly divine majesty will be displayed, and every eye will see it, as Revelation 1 teaches us. Jesus will be seen in the fullness of his exalted glory, on his throne of glory. Now, throne implies a king who thereby has the right to rule, to make judgments. And Jesus Christ at his return, sitting on the throne of his glory, the throne of heaven, the throne of God, will very evidently be the King of Kings, and everyone will bow down before King Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, we should be clear that this gathering is not happening voluntarily. The King Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, is the one who will gather all the nations before him. And we tend to think of nations as these geopolitical entities like the United States of America or France or Kenya or Russia. But the word in the original Greek of this text refers to ethnicity. Nations are really tribes, peoples of all the different languages and cultures and color that are such because God scattered the people to be such in response to their wanting to build a tower whose top is in the heavens to make a name for themselves. Remember Genesis 11, Tower of Babel? So the king returned on his throne of glory will gather every single descendant of Adam from throughout all of history before him, wherever they are, wherever they have lived, to face the king's definitive and eternally consequential judgment. And that judgment on his return is a fulfillment of Scripture. Hebrews 10:27, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now, these tribes would not gather voluntarily for the judgment, but the king will gather them for the judgment appointed to them. So you all who hear this message, you all have an appointment for judgment by King Jesus. No one can escape that appointment. He will gather everyone, whether they had died or are alive when he returns. And as the king from his throne makes the judgment, the division among the gathered totality of humankind, that division is final. You will either be one of his sheep set by him on his right side, or you will be a goat set by him on his left. You will either be set on his right side, one of the blessed of his Father in heaven, and invited by the king to come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or, the only other alternative, you'll be set on the left hand, and the king will say to you, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." This is the word of the Lord. Those that the returned in glory Jesus Christ will gather will include people who never gave Jesus, who never gave God much of a thought. It includes those who openly rebelled against him, those who persecuted his church, and those who professed faith in him but did not really believe in him. Hypocrites. They gave no evidence of being his disciples. And so at this day of judgment, when Jesus returns on his throne of glory, the masks of hypocrisy will be ripped off. All secrets will be exposed. Hearts will be revealed. When Jesus returns, there will be no other place you will go than either on his right hand or left hand. All humanity will be divided by the judgment of the king as either his sheep or goats. There is no middle ground. And there are only two destinations. Either you will enter into the eternal kingdom reserved for Christ's sheep and be there forever, enjoying such blessedness as we cannot even yet imagine. Or you will go into the everlasting fire, the outer darkness, the eternal torment, the never-ceasing wailing and gnashing of teeth reserved for the goats. At Christ's return as the judging king, you want to be set on his right hand among his sheep, not on the left with the goats. For the sheep, it's experiencing eternal fellowship with God in the new heavens and the new earth. For the goats, it's experiencing eternally the just wrath of God against your sin. Nobody is just annihilated. Every single person will continue to exist forever, but either in heaven or in hell. Now notice how Jesus speaks of the separation he will make upon his return. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now Ezekiel 34 speaks of such a separation, but it was the familiar practice in Jesus' day, you know, that agricultural day when shepherding was a common vocation. It was common then, common practice to have the sheep and the goats together during the day and for the shepherd to separate them out for the night. And so Jesus speaks of his return as the shepherd king. He's the caring, loving shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep and now brings them into the green pastures and still waters. That is the peaceful, abundant life promised to and realized by his sheep. We read Psalm 23 earlier. As we hear his making a separation as a shepherd, we should bring to mind also John 10, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." On that unknown day of Jesus' return in glory, the sheep set on his right hand, the hand of God's favor, will be those who heard his voice. That is, they believed the gospel proclaimed. They repented and believed in, were made disciples of God's incarnate Son, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus. But this returning Jesus is not only the shepherd king of his sheep, come back to bring them to eternal glorious reign over the new heavens and earth with him, but he's also Jesus the king who will not be meek and compassionate with the goats on that day. But he will be their righteous judge who will deliver their just sentence for their unrepentant rebellion against him. That appointment to judgment is coming for all of mankind. It's the most certain future thing that there is. And it raises the question for each one of us yet alive. Based on how you are living your life right now, are you a sheep or a goat? Now, to the world that's so consumed with self-determination of identity, the mindset of I'm the master of my fate, the captain of my soul, those who are seekers after self-glory, even the analogy to being either a sheep or a goat is offensive. Well, I sure don't think of myself as either a sheep or a goat. Maybe I might think of myself as a lion. I won't be categorized that way. Nobody can tell me what I am. Well, no matter. You're either a sheep or a goat, because the determiner is not you, but the Jesus Christ who is your creator and king. On his glorious return as the judging, all-sovereign, all-wise, all-knowing king, he will assess you as either a sheep or a goat and set you either on his right hand or his left hand. There is no alternative, and his judgment will be final onto your final, unalterable, eternal destiny. Now, let's make sure we pay attention to Jesus' words here. This is encouragement for all of you who evidently are his sheep. The sheep are those blessed by the Heavenly Father of Jesus, and that blessing means that as sheep, they inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Sheep are sheep by God's sovereign decree, by God's grace and mercy, to make into sheep, by grace through faith in the gospel, all he chose before the foundation of the world to be Christ's sheep, and as such to inherit the kingdom prepared for his redeemed. Now Jesus makes it clear that only those the Father has given to Jesus to be his sheep, they are the only ones who believe in and become followers of Jesus. Jesus says to the unbelieving Jews, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep." To be a sheep is by God's grace through faith. The faith that is by hearing and repentantly becoming a disciple, a follower of Jesus, the shepherd king. And that's the call that goes out to the gospel everywhere, all the time. Believe the gospel, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And then you know you're one of his sheep as you become a follower of his. And we should all realize that we who are descendants of fallen Adam, all of us, we're all goats by nature. And we would all go away into everlasting punishment, which is what we all deserve as goats. as we are the rebellious sinners against our Creator God that we are in our fallen state. As goats, we could never get back into favor with our Creator God. We could never be judged righteous by Jesus the King at his return. We could not be set in his right hand to inherit the eternal kingdom. But you see, in preparation for his return, Jesus says back in verse 14 of chapter 24, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as witness to the nations, and then the end will come. Jesus will not return. Jesus will not gather all the nations for his making the appointed judgment until the gospel has been preached in all the world, until all the different peoples have heard it. And that gospel that you're hearing today tells you that there's a way to be right with the King. And that way is, again, to repent and believe and follow him, he who is the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. But being made into one of Christ's sheep is possible. You should all know this. It's possible only in your lifetime and before Christ's return. And we don't know that he won't return yet today or tomorrow or next week. Now is the time to heed the call of the gospel and repent and live as a disciple of Jesus, the shepherd and king. Now is the time to confess that you're a sinner and you're in need of salvation to be delivered out of the misery that awaits you. The fullness of misery, eternal condemnation because of your sin against God. Only as you put your trust in the only Redeemer, the only Savior, Jesus Christ, now may you be assured as you live as his follower that you will be set on his right hand and inherit the eternal kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. So now, the question we should ask, on what basis will the shepherd king, the judge, make the separation between his sheep and the goats? Now, remember, this is the perfectly righteous judge, God himself, and he will judge in righteousness. And we're told that he will do so. It's prophesied that he would do so. For instance, the end of Psalm 96 and Psalm 98 and Acts 17. A judge who judges righteously. And we realize that in our lifetime, there's lots of people making judgments of us who are not righteous, who make unrighteous judgments. That's the reality. But when Christ returns as the righteous judge, his judgment will be perfectly righteous. He will judge on the evidence that testifies as to you being either sheep or goats. The evidence of being one of Christ's sheep is that they heard and heeded the voice of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, loved him and his kingdom, followed him, served him, aimed after righteousness, because that is the inevitable fruit of being redeemed as one of his sheep, being set free from the power of sin and death, no longer enslaved to it, to serve him, to serve righteousness. And how does Jesus in our text say this evidence of being his sheep has been manifested, has been made evident? And here it is, by their love for Christ's brothers, especially the needy. Now, every time that Jesus speaks of his brothers, he's referring to members of his church. He's referring to Christians. Those are his brothers. So look what Jesus actually says to those he puts on his right hand, those who inherit his kingdom, those he calls righteous who go into eternal life. That is his sheep. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So you see, the basis of Jesus' judgment of being his sheep, those blessed by his heavenly Father, those who received the crown of glory, is that their lives have demonstrated that they are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the chief good works that Jesus sees in his sheep is showing love to one another. To one another who are the members of his body, the church. Now, true, Christ Jesus also repeated what he had said through Moses, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And our neighbors do include all made in the image of God, all the descendants of Adam. So we all have a common bond with one another as we are human beings. But our closest bond is with one another in Christ Jesus. Our closest bond is the everlasting bond we have with one another as members of his body, with whom alone we will have and enjoy eternal fellowship at his return, when we as sheep go to eternal life. So Jesus prioritizes love that is doing for one another as we do it to one another, that is, his brothers, the church. And whenever Jesus mentions his brothers, again, he means Christians, his sheep, his followers, his church yet on earth, his covenant people that he's been gathering from all the tribes of the world. And notice how Jesus puts it, the charity, the love, the good that you did for even the least of my brothers, you did it to me. See, you demonstrate love to your brother Christians, you are demonstrating your love for Jesus. You don't love his church, you show you don't love Jesus. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, wrote this on Christmas 1534. Listen to this. There are many who think, if only I had been there, how quick I would have been to help the baby. I would have washed his linen. How happy I would have been to go with the shepherds to Bethlehem to the Lord lying in the manger. And Martin Luther says, yes, you would. You say that because you know how great Christ is. We all know that now. They didn't really know it then. But he goes on to say, but if you had been there at that time, you would have done no better than the people of Bethlehem. So childish and silly thoughts are these. Oh, if only I had been there. And then he says, why don't you do it now? You have Christ in your neighbor. You are loving Christ, beloved, when you love your screaming baby. When you love your bewildered teenager, the lonely widow. You are loving Christ when you demonstrate love, mercy, kindness to a yet imperfect husband or wife, to the aged Christian in a nursing home, the Christian seeking refuge from persecution. You do have Christ as you look around you in this church. They're sitting behind you. They're sitting in front of you. And you have Christ in churches by means of their members throughout the world. And there is your calling as Christ's sheep. Demonstrate to your brothers that selfless love that seeks no gain for yourself, but gain for Christ and his kingdom. And you're doing it for him. Now, it's very important to see that at Jesus' return and judgment between his sheep and those who are not, the goats, Jesus does not criticize the sheep. And yet, we know, we who are his sheep, we who confess that when we appear before our judge on that last day, our sins, even as we are as redeemed, will be a humongously long list. And yet, Jesus will not hold them against us. But he will judge us only on our Christian charity that his redemption of us as sheep has yielded. And why will this be so? Because the shepherd king laid down his life for his sheep, so that by his shed blood, by sacrifice, all of our sins are covered, and the Lord will remember them no more. Oh yes, he'll remember them, but he won't hold them against them. He chooses not to bring them up again because of Christ's work. The account for our sins has already been cleared up through the sacrifice of Christ by his shed blood. But when Jesus Christ purchased us with his shed blood to be his own, we are redeemed to live unto him. And so our being judged to be a sheep and to go to eternal life is not based on our charitable works, but our charitable works are the evidence of being his redeemed sheep. And the righteous as sheep acknowledge that they trust not in their own good works for inheriting the kingdom prepared for them. Notice what their response will be on that day when Jesus tells them they were charitable towards him, as they were charitable especially to the needy in the church. And the response that we have, that Jesus tells us that response, it's not at all a response of self-righteousness. Yes, Lord, we did do good, even to the least of your brother. That's not what they say. But rather, the sheep say, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you a stranger and took you in? When did we see you naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick and visited you, or in prison and came to you? You see, the sheep aren't self-consciously inviting someone who needs food or shelter to their home, saying, oh, if I do this, I'll get brownie points for my way into heaven. No, they do it because it's their new nature in Christ to do so. It's the fruit of being redeemed in Christ, that transformed life that loves and seeks to serve Christ and loves his church and seeks to serve and love one another. It's their calling as they hear the gospel and as the Lord sanctifies them by his indwelling spirit. They do what is right, what is pleasing to the Lord. Of course, never in this present life perfectly, not without sorrow for neglect. And how many times have we sorrowfully thought and brought to mind that we could have helped a brother but didn't? We had the opportunity but did not avail ourselves of it because, whatever reason, too busy, lazy, whatever. We know that's going to be the case. So their response shows their trust for being put on the right hand of Jesus on his throne of glory is not what they did, but what Jesus did for them, as evidenced by their lives of loving one another inasmuch as they do so, as imperfectly as they do so, yet that is characteristic of his sheep. And that's what Jesus looks for, the evidence of his having redeemed them, which he knows will be there because we, the sheep, are his workmanship. Now, the goats, on the other hand, they may do all kinds of good for the downtrodden and the oppressed of this present world as they see them as such. They may be philanthropists as they are even atheists or followers of some idol god, and they may pressure the Christian church, as they do, to be the do-gooders of this world, to be the church of social justice and to be the church that feeds all the hungry. But we have to realize whatever is done not motivated by love of Jesus Christ and love of his church will ultimately yield Jesus' verdict of goat and being sent to eternal punishment. This is how it will be at Jesus' return. It will be the appointed time of judgment for every human being. There's no universal salvation. It's not going to end well, no matter whether or not you loved and served the King Jesus Christ and his church. You're either a sheep or a goat. No fence sitting, no going back then to make amends on the day of his return. And none of us know how soon that judgment will take place. The gospel, the good news of getting right with King Jesus, is still being proclaimed today. But tomorrow it may be too late, and the door into the everlasting kingdom will be shut to all who are yet goats then. So what does your life evidence? Are you one of Christ's sheep, or are you a goat? May all who hear the gospel, all who hear this text, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his redeeming work as a shepherd king, and be joined to his church to love him by loving one another, his brothers. And then live in the assured, the blessed assurance that as you are demonstrating charity to even the least of Jesus' brothers, you know, those you have the least expectation of getting anything back for yourself, the ones that have nothing to offer in return, as you're doing that, be assured that he will say to you on that last day, as you did it for me, then come and enter into eternal life. Come and enter into the kingdom prepared for you. Oh, what glory awaits us, who evidence by our lives that we are indeed Jesus' sheep. May you, his sheep, be encouraged by that vision of awaiting everlasting life and glory, to live holy lives, loving Jesus by loving one another, to the glory of our Redeemer Lord, our Shepherd King, Jesus Christ. Amen.